Hi, this is Damien O'Doherty. We're on Center Maryland's The Lobby podcast, and we are blessed to have a very special guest who's going to talk to us about the thing that is really at the tip of everybody's tongue, which is about connectivity and 5G and broadband access, all those sorts of things. Carver Chu from Crown Castle is here to give us a little bit of an orientation into the world of 5G.
Well, thank you, Damien. It's great to be with you today.
So we see the ads from the commercial standpoint. We know 5G is going to be like something more, but there's a whole community and process and plan to try to make this whole improvement to internet access possible, and you're at the center of that. But I just feel like we see the ads, but we don't know anything about what happens before the ads. So I'm hoping you can give me a little primer on that.
Well, absolutely. Well, let me start by saying a couple things. First off, 5G, as our CEO often says, is really something that we're still in the very early innings of, right? So we see the ads, we talk a lot about it, but really, there's still so much to be learned and discovered around 5G. And so as we start talking about use cases, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. And so that's just something to keep in mind. Also, I would say with respect to 5G, as we talk about it, it's really now moving beyond the individual experience, right? So up to this point, so much has been focused on improving the user experience. Right.
Right. I'm just like looking and up, does it have a 5G on it or not?
Exactly. Right. And that's, you know, better calls and you can surf the net and do all that stuff. But I think what 5G now is starting to change is it's extending the ecosystem beyond the individual. So now we're talking about how do you better connect people to people, cars to cars, things to things, machines to machines.
So the Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things, which you hear about. Right. And so it's really expanding the ecosystem from a connectivity standpoint.
Yep. So that's like people that want, we were just talking about Wi-Fi thermostats or all the little gadgetry in your home that makes your appliances smarter.
Exactly.
They all need 5G to operate.
And they do because it requires more speed, more capacity, and ultimately low latency, right? Real quick responsiveness. And so, yeah, you're going to hear a lot of talk around augmented virtual reality, drone deliveries, right? Remote surgery, all great things. But I think when we start talking about 5G, it's going to happen, right? I think for communities and local governments, leaders, right? There are other things that are probably more of interest to them. I would say transportation is an area right now when we look at use cases. The whole concept of self-driving vehicles, right? It has enormous potential. We talked about, we look at the Jetsons, for those of us who grew up with the Jetsons, right? Well, we're not at the point where we have flying cars, but we've got self-driving cars.
Yeah, right.
And so we've come a long way. Right. But I think statistics show that 94% of accidents are caused by human error. I think they estimate that with self-driving vehicles, you could have 90% reduction in emissions. So from a transportation standpoint, communities can really look, you know, and benefit from improved safety, lower emissions, better quality.
About 5G, it's like you're talking about water.
Yep.
To the ecosystem, right? I mean,
it's the lifeblood. It is the lifeblood. That's a term that's often used, right? And the question is, how do you get that to more people, right? And it's part of what we're involved in.
In Maryland, we've had a significant issue, like many other states, about the digital divide. In other words, people's socioeconomic experience determines their ability to get on the internet or access to the Internet of Things or all of these things. What's 5G's role in closing that gap?
Well, a number to think about is 37, and that is 37% of Americans rely predominantly on wireless, on smartphones to access the internet. And I think even in Maryland, they say 20.
Say that one more time, yeah, for us.
37% of Americans rely predominantly on their smartphone to access the internet.
Right.
Right. So they don't have a standard wired line subscription, broadband subscription. In Maryland, it's 23% don't have a traditional connection. So wireless has the ability to expand access and connectivity. And I think when we start talking about the digital divide, that's where there's a real opportunity for wireless networks and wireless solutions to play a significant role in bridging that gap. Because number one, we know people rely on it. But two, as we look at getting fiber, right, traditional fiber to the unserved and underserved, it's a very expensive proposition. So wireless now is in a position where you could make that last mile connection with a wireless solution rather than relying on fiber to the home. So I think there's great potential.
That gets around a lot of issues where folks were not being able, just infrastructure was not meeting the people. Now you can go the last mile.
With a wireless solution, it's cheaper and faster, ultimately.
You know, I keep saying this, President Johnson in the Robert Caro book about him talked about growing up in West Texas and how the bringing of electricity literally transformed the posture of the people in his community because they no longer had to carry these big loads up the road with water. And I feel like, and that inspired him to become somebody that was empowering his constituencies with infrastructure. Now we have the American Rescue Act, right? And we're finally beginning to see some funding for the big dreams and delivery of 5G. Like, there's real money there to make it happen for everybody now. Just like your reaction to that, now you all are making sure that money's being spent as wisely as possible.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic, right, to have access to these dollars. The question is, how do you get those dollars and put them in play, right, and translate those dollars into actual projects, right, into product.
Right, not just a number on an infographic, but changing somebody's posture when it comes to the internet.
Absolutely, right? So, it's something that we think about and spend a lot of time focusing on. I would highlight three things. I think, number one, we need to change the mindset and start looking at more options, right? So we just talked about the reliance on the smartphone for connectivity. I think we have to make wireless a bigger part of the discussion and not look at just fiber. So not locking in a quarterback on a single receiver. Let's not lock in on any single solution.
So talk to me about that. When I introduced you, I said broadband, fiber, 5G. I'm kind of putting that all in one place in my head, like cool, futuristic internet connection with a lot of bandwidth, right?
Right.
But really, when I say fiber, that fiber's not getting where you would like it to be, right?
Yeah.
And so the 5G is like everybody's quilt that goes beyond their toes, right?
It has the ability to enhance and expand traditional fiber networks. And then the reality is fiber is expensive to deploy. So where you can't make the business case or where there's not funding, I think there is an opportunity to leverage wireless networks to provide that connectivity in lieu of fiber to the premises, for example, or fiber to the home.
It's got to be so much less expensive.
It is. And that's why I think that as we look at broadband
it's a no-brainer. But what's the problem is that there's competing interests that want those dollars. To put wires in the ground or what have you?
I think the question is, how do you do it, right? So for municipalities, we live and breathe this stuff from an industry standpoint, right? So we know how to go deploy. The challenge is getting, cities and counties and local leaders to understand as well so that we can partner to actually go spend those dollars.
And that's why you're here at the Maryland Association of Counties, to let them know that's possible. Have there been any good, you call them use cases, have there been any good examples of state and local governments kind of taking the tiger by the tail and doing the right thing here?
I think so. I mean, there's a couple of areas where when we think about best practices, right, and how we can partner to get infrastructure in place more quickly and more efficiently. One thing we talk about is just the physical construction, right? How can we, in this case, deploy fiber more efficiently, more cost effectively? We have a method called microtrench, which has been around for quite some time, where in lieu of traditional trenching, underground trenching, 2 foot wide, 3 feet deep,
permits,
you can do a slot trench, 12 to 26 inches deep, and you can place your fiber in there, backfill it. It's a very fast, safe, resilient, sustainable solution. Low. You don't have to close roads. You're just shutting down a lane. that's an opportunity for jurisdictions to work with us to deploy fiber more effectively, more quickly. The other thing, too, that we've seen, I've seen it in Long Beach, California, Nashville, New Hampshire.
LBC?
Yeah, the good old LBC. They've done something called term permitting, where you can basically pre-approve applications that have, you know, similar characteristics, physical requirements, design characteristics. Basically pre-approve those and allow that to occur under a single master blanket permit rather than having to process applications one by one. It's a great way to relieve the administrative burden, but we've seen a lot of success doing that, particularly for fiber deployment.
Fun question for you, switching into fun. If you had something if you had six people from prominent places in local and state government, those six people are on your elevator, you're going up to a party or talk, what do you want them to know about Crown Castle and the 5G experience?
Well, I think they need to understand that Crown Castle is a long-term partner, right? We are the long-term owner of these assets, right? So we have a vested interest in working.
You are the infrastructure.
We really are, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been doing it for 25 years, 40,000 towers, 85,000 route miles of fiber,
right?
Small cells, fiber solutions, right? We're in the thick of it, and we're not going to go away. So we have a vested interest.
Deep investments, long money, they call it.
Yeah, we want to succeed, right? And we want to be strong partners. So, but my challenge to local leaders, assuming I had the opportunity to tell them, is invest now, right? Don't wait for everything to align. The reality is that, I think it was Seneca, Roman philosopher, said luck is where preparation meets opportunity, right? And you apply that to success. The opportunities are going to come. The question is whether local leaders are going to be prepared to capture that opportunity,
right,
when it happens. So work with us. Work with the industry now. Make the investment
in
infrastructure.
The tide is coming in now.
It's not going away. It's only going to intensify. Right, the data shows it.
Carver Chu, he's with Crown Castle, and they are doing all the things in the world that kind of make our convenience possible, I feel like. And you do it very quietly and discreetly.
Biggest
and
company
lovely.
No one's heard about, right?
It's amazing.
So we're happy to do that. But thank you,
Dean. You are the infrastructure.
Appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Carver. I appreciate you. And let us know what your favorite joint is in Ocean City after this weekend. Okay?
Absolutely.
There's
I would be promised to do
spots,
it.
Man.
It's hard to make a decision.
Thanks,
Steven.
Thank you, brother.